This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
When I decided to stop drinking at 30, I didn't know anybody else in my life who was sober. The idea of never drinking again was really scary, but I knew that I had to do it for my own mental health. My drinking had got out of control and it wasn't bringing me any joy anymore. However, I thought a life being alcohol-free would be dull and boring, and I was desperate to meet other people who had this experience and that I could learn from and also talk to them about it. I researched endlessly trying to find somebody that understood what I was going through. I read lots of Quitlit, etc., and I stumbled across the OTI podcast and how life-changing that was. I then joined the community a few months after it opened, and that really skyrocketed my AF journey. Meeting other people who were really cool, had great life stories, were really insightful, knew exactly what I was talking about, could offer support, advice, friendship, but also laughter was game changing. These people have become my real life friends, and I'm really, really proud to say that not only am I alcohol free and loving it, but I know lots of people now that don't drink, and that has really helped me to stay on this sober path. So if you're considering stopping drinking, if you really enjoy the podcast, then please do join up to the community. Everyone says it's a game changer, and it's not just about stopping drinking. It's about finding out about what you want to do with the rest of your life.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It's fabulous to have you listening, as always. Who are we? Well, my name is Sharon Hartley. I am based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. This year in September, I'll be 7 years. Yes, seven. Oh, hang on. Sorry, that's me. Sorry, my notifications are on for a reason. Come back to that shortly.
Soz,
it's completely unprofessional. I don't drink anymore. Life is so much better without it. My name's Sharon and I like not drinking. Ben, hello.
Hi, my name's Ben and I like not drinking. Sorry. What are you doing? What?
Sorry.
No, sorry, I'll give more of an intro than that because it's a special episode for me, actually, Sharon, this one. Because 5 years alcohol-free now, I can actually say it. Woohoo!
Hang on, when was that? Is that today?
Well, as we record, it's on Sunday, but obviously this is going to come out on Monday morning. So when this is out,
oh, I hate it
I'll
when
be
we do
five
this.
5 years and one day alcohol-free. Let's talk about your camper van instead, because what are you doing? Why are your notifications on? Why are you in a camper van?
Right, number one, I'm in a camper van because for work, BBC Radio Lancashire, I am doing a coastal camper van caper. It kicked off yesterday. I'm living in this baked bean tin on wheels for the week.
Camper van caper. Is that caper. When you kind of pick things that say we're going to do a coastal from hat one and then we're going to do hat two, camper van.
Camper van.
Yeah, and we've got to make it literate. Let's do a caravan
caper. Right, so that's where I'm at. As we speak, I am in my camper van where I'll be sleeping tonight. And the reason I've got my notifications on my phone, and again, very, very unprofessional for a broadcaster, soz but not soz. The restaurant on site is closed. The chippy is closed. So I've got a Just Eats coming as soon as this podcast recording finishes.
Great.
But I do believe they may get in touch to confirm my order to
Which
meet me at
very
reception.
Important. Yeah.
Very important. I'm having a Chinese takeaway. I've gone chicken foo young and some prawn toast as well. So that's me in a nutshell.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's obviously you're in a camper van because obviously you are. Do you know what I mean? I love, though, your commitment to Over the Influence, Sharon, because
I'm
you very easily could have said, guys, I'm on my caravan caper and I can't record this week. But
it's
here
not a caravan,
you are.
It's a camper van.
Sorry, your camper van caper, but here you are. And you know what, Shaz, I'm really glad you made it because I am delighted to be 5 years alcohol-free on Sunday. And I can't think of any better people to spend this episode with.
I know.
Oh, it's just all worked out so well. What a celebratory episode we have today. Sharon, give us the big intro.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So OTI legends, both these chaps have been on the podcast before. The OTI Godfather, as we called him. He might hate that name. I don't know. But so well thought of by us, so well respected within the community. The one and only Ian Thirlbeck. We've also got Neil, NC Hammer. Bit of a crappy nickname, actually, NC, but it rhymes with sort of MC Hammer and it takes us back to the 80s and we just love the name. And we love you. Now, you are part of Team OTI Iron Man. There's a third member, Kelly. She can't be with us tonight for the recording. She sends her apologies. Gutted that we can't catch up with Kelly as well. But no doubt you've been hearing from her later on in the future on the podcast. So we've got two thirds of Team OTI Iron Man joining us today to talk all about what happened at the weekend. First question to you, Ian. How's your body? How's your legs? How's your head?
I'm still alive, Shaz. I'm still here.
Which, hey, that's a good tick.
I nearly wasn't yesterday and this morning, but this is now day three of the recovery. My watch tells me, my Garmin tells me I've got another 2 or 3 days to go before I'm fully recovered. So
That's
just a good excuse to do nothing for a couple of days. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
And I'm here.
Absolutely brilliant. What a legend. Ian, thank you so much for joining us so soon after this epic event that took place at the weekend. And Neil, I've got to say that despite given what you've just done on that bike, you're looking remarkable. You've never looked as well.
The calorie replenishment. It's great fun. It's been good. Yeah, we're still up here because it's about a 10-hour round trip for us. So we've made a few days of it up here. So I'm effectively on holiday. Not like your working holiday, Shaz, but my actual holiday up here. So yeah, we made a couple of days of it. So yeah, nice and refreshed.
Fantastic. You both look surprisingly well. I think if myself and Ben had taken part in what you've just done at the weekend, Ben, we wouldn't be looking like this.
We wouldn't take part.
No, full stop.
You know, it's very simple, isn't it? You know, it's what these gentlemen did at the weekend is quite phenomenal, not just in terms of the physical effort, but they gave me a little heads up on how much money they've raised so far as well, which
is stunning. It's so good.
You say save it, but we've got to give the link out later times because
we will do.
You know, they've completed the challenge now. And I know a lot of people out there, they like to donate beforehand. But there's a good few people out there who like to see you do it first and then they'll donate. The reason I can say that is because I did my own challenge. I did the Three Peaks. Is it last year or the year before? Can't remember now. And a load of money came in afterwards. So let's just get the link in nice and early. Neil, how can people donate if they want to donate?
Good question.
Ian, how do people donate?
Oh, we should have been better prepared for this.
justgiving.com/page/team-OTI
OTI.
Yeah. Correct. So justgiving.com/page/team-OTI There you go, gents, got your back.
Okay.
Where do we start then, Shaz? What's your
I suppose there's two things we want to focus on here. We want to go back and remind people what you did and why you do it. But also, I think what's become really evident, because the event didn't go entirely to plan for Team OTI, it all still happened. But what's been incredible after this and what's happened is the sense of team, the sense of community within OTI on the back of it. Because as we know with our alcohol-free journeys, it's not always a linear path, is it? So let's start with that. Let's go right back to the beginning. Ian, I'll come to you. Tell us what you were doing and why.
So the plan was, and this was all Kelly's idea. Anybody who's heard the premium pod will remember how I said that Kelly threw us under the bus, because she did. She got us into all this. And it was obviously, it was a cracking idea. It was a great idea. It was the execution that was the problem, but it was a great idea to raise some valuable funds for alcohol change by taking part in something difficult. And it was going to be a team Ironman. Okay. So the idea was I would do the swim, 2.4 mile swim, hand over to Neil. Neil would do the 115, Neil.
112
mile bike ride in the hills. And then hand over to Kelly to do just a marathon. So it was bonkers. So that was the idea. And that's what we set out and did on Sunday.
I've totally, when we talked to you guys before, it was on the premium pod, wasn't it? It wasn't on the main pod. Right. Sorry. I was there. So yes, I'm glad that we've given that. context. Let's then talk about why you were doing it. So it was Kelly's idea. She looped you guys in to do some ridiculous miles. It's crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. Like, I was trying to think. So is it, do you say 2.5 mile swim, Ian?
2.4 mile swim. Yeah. Yeah.
It was
Start at 6:30 in the morning. So a nice fresh start for you. Yeah.
Oh, and then how many hundreds of miles? Sorry, Neil, 100 and what?
112.
I mean, that's just, you know, a morning for you, isn't it, Neil? Easy. But why were you doing it then? Let's explain to everyone, why were you doing it and who for?
So we were doing it for Alcohol Change UK, which is a charity that anybody who doesn't know about it is a fantastic charity. Secrets in the title. But what I really like about Alcohol Change UK is there's no stigma, if you know what I mean. And I think it's part of this journey away from, you know, sort of alcohol, you know, any issue with alcohol on any level being seen as a stigma. I think it's that journey away from that. And I think we've seen this gradually over the years. So it's a fantastic charity, but it helps people in all levels of addressing issues with alcohol, shall we say. But it's down to things like just, you know, personal performance at work, personal issues at home, right through to people who have maybe more of a greater dependency on alcohol. So yeah, a great charity. And like I say, it was Kelly's idea, and a brilliant one too, just to get us involved with something like that. And who better to be doing it than, you know, people within a fantastic community from like OTI.
Too right. It's a big week for them, isn't it, Shaz? Our mates at Alcohol Change UK. Because as this is coming out, and it is going to be Alcohol Awareness Week for Alcohol Change UK.
Great timing.
It's definitely worth having a look. You know, if you've never heard of Alcohol Change UK, they aren't anti-alcohol. They are a charity that aims to reduce alcohol harm in society and for the. It's a really interesting charity for sure. So if you haven't come across it, and you're listening to this, then I'd be very surprised. You probably have, but go and have a look, because obviously this week, Alcohol Awareness Week. Loads of stuff up there on the website. So that's alcoholchange.org.uk. Just getting that plug in there for them, Shaz. Soz.
I love the fact that this has taken place within our community. You know, when we've spoken to you, Ian, on the podcast before, you were part of OTI before it actually became OTI, when we used to host these handful of Zoom calls. And Neil, I want to come to you now, because you joined Over the Influence on our day one. And actually, when this podcast episode comes out, and I know Neil will know the date here, we won't be far off our anniversary, will we? Because it's July. Have I got that right?
Yeah, 19th of July will be 4 years. The community went live, and it was my day one.
That's so incredible.
Yeah, we'll be a couple of weeks away, something like that. Yeah. So yeah, be 4 years.
And so, okay, let's rewind for you, Neil, further back than 4 years. If we'd have presented you with our OTI crystal ball and gone, right, in 4 years' time, Ian, having joined this community, you'll have made some of the best friends that you know. You'll be cycling for fun. You'll be raising thousands of pounds for Alcohol Change UK. What would you have said? Would that have been on the horizon?
No, not raising money for Alcohol Change UK, and probably not. I remember Ian from the Mr. 365 episode, listening to that, and the fact that, you know, sort of 4 years later I'm competing in an Ironman relay with him.
He's your mate.
What an honor. Yeah. You know, you just can't see what the future holds for you. You know, just all I've done is stop drinking, and then 4 years later I'm competing in an Ironman with Ian and Kelly. You know, they were just friends on the internet, yeah. In the community, and actually now It was just incredible. And the fact that, I know we did it as a team, but we all trained individually. Kelly's in Glasgow, Ian's in Newcastle, I'm in Northamptonshire. And that trust amongst the three of us to concentrate and train in our own disciplines so that we could come together to a team to deliver it as a team was just, it's brilliant. And that's what sort of was the driving force for me to make sure that actually I don't want to be the one that, you know, I want to be there in my best form, in best nick, so that I can, I can deliver it, two, enjoy it with my friends, and three, actually, it was a competition. I wanted to compete. Competitive dad, competitive Neil and me wanted to, to give it the best shot, and that's what happened. Competitive dad kicks in. So
Neil, you've just reminded me, and you'll know exactly the reference here, the Fast Show off of the 1990s, and that character, competitive dad. That's you in a nutshell now, isn't it?
Come on, Toby.
go on, Ian.
That was me. It was a brilliant challenge for a brilliant cause, and I was so glad that Kelly asked me to be part of it.
Yeah. Amazing. Ian, I'm
big up Kelly again, because when Kelly first asked me to get involved, my instant reaction was, shit, no, because that means I'm going to have to be sort of open about, you know, my history, if you like, with alcohol. It's five years now since I've had a drink, but... You know, and yes, I'm big in the community, if you know what I mean. But in terms of Facebook, I don't really do much of Facebook and stuff like that. Yes, I've been on LinkedIn and I've sort of made something put it, but I'm not always out there, if you know what I mean, talking about myself and how I don't drink. So when she first said, you know, would you get involved? I was like, shit, this means I've got to sort of actually promote my enjoyment of not drinking. And I was quite anti it, but at the same time, I knew it was the right thing to do. I knew for my own reasons and to, you know, to do what we're doing for the charity and getting the message out there, I had to put that to one side and say, actually, do you know what? Yes, it's been 5 years. It's about time I started just owning this, if you know what I mean, rather than just doing it under the confines of our community, which is what I've done until now. So now it's out there, and now, you know, it's helped me out massively, because now, happily talk about it. What do you want to know? Brilliant.
What were the responses like, Ian? Because when I did my challenge last year, I was raising money for Older Hay Children's Charity. So Older Hay Hospital here in the Northwest. It's a place that we've been a lot with Leo after we got his diagnosis of Down syndrome 2.5 years ago now. More than that. Blimey, he's 3 in October. Can you believe that? But it's a charity that everybody knows here. And that makes it a bit easier, I think. You know, when you're asking for money, people want to donate to Older Hay, and you are the vehicle for them to be able to do that in that moment. What are the responses like when you're talking about Alcohol Change as a charity? I'm throwing this to both Neil and Ian.
Yeah, I don't know about Neil, but for me, I didn't really go into great detail about the charity. I let Kelly put a cracking post together that, you know, promoted the whole thing, and I just let that speak for itself. This is what I'm doing. And I let people come to me, you know, and speak to me about it, rather than me, you know, ram it down the throat and tell them why it's a really good charity. It's, you know, the link speaks for itself. So people didn't actually really talk about it. It helped me, because it was almost another way of me saying to people, look, these are my beliefs these days. This is what I strongly feel. And, you know, this is why I'm doing this for the charity. So in short, Ben, people didn't really actually ask me about it, but I think the people, you know, when they did look at it and they did mention it, everyone said, yeah, great charity, and was very much behind it. So, you know, it was only positive.
Same.
And that's pretty much. Yeah. So when I shared on my socials about the challenge, I put a bit in there about, please read Kelly's blog and please read the link to Alcohol Change and the brilliant work they do. So the links were in my posts that I sent out, and it was, if people wanted to research it, they could, and off they went. But I have to say, it was, Kelly's done a brilliant job of promoting this, so much so that the organisers of the event made a real fuss of us. The fact that we were part of Over Your Influence, we were raising money for Alcohol Change UK. Out of all of the Ironman teams and the people that were competing, they'd kind of pinpointed us and come after us and wanted to do a post-race interview with us. It didn't quite happen on the day, but I think retrospectively, they're still going to sort of get in touch with us and stuff. And they were really interested in the story we had to share.
That's amazing. Yeah. That is so, so good. Go on, Ben. I know you want to jump
in. The day didn't quite go to plan, did it? And it's because Kelly, unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, she did 10K, but then something happened which meant that, well, let's just say, not all heroes wear capes, do they? The Godfather.
Somewhere wetsuits and trainers. So I'll tell you what we'll do here then. Right, Ian, let's talk about your swim, and then we're going to jump to Neil and talk about your bike ride, and then we'll jump back to you, Ian, and you can just talk us through what happened. As well, I'll stop talking, you jump in.
I don't think I've really digested yet what's happened on that day yet, to be honest with you. But I'll do my best. So, for weeks and months now, I've been training in the local pool, up and down the lanes. I'm I'm a comfortable swimmer. I'm not that swimming isn't. I don't really enjoy swimming. If I'm honest with you, I'm just somebody. Some people can pick it up as a kid. I picked it up as a kid. I had quite a good efficient stroke, so you know I'm an okay swimmer. But so I've been training in the pool for quite some time. I then went on a family holiday that you know about, Shaz, for 2 weeks, and you know, let's just say the temperature was nothing like it was in the lake at Kielder. So. You know, I did some sea swimming, but it was nothing resembling what I was up against. So I've never done anything like this before. I have done a lake swim before, but not anywhere near this distance. So it was a big task. I've been quite apprehensive about it for quite a few weeks. Got in the water at 6:30 in the morning, and you've got people thrashing around, you know, accidentally climbing all over you when you're all trying to swim. You've got the
really?
Because nobody really knows where they're going. Your vision's just looking under the water, and you don't really know who's in front of you or whatever. So it's really
like,
quite
like salmon flopping around.
Yeah. Panicked salmon. That's what we were described
panicked
as.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Sounds like a headline actor. Glastonbury, that.
So it was even on the surprise set. He's panicked salmon. He's panicked salmon. Oh, it's got to be the cure.
It was just. I think the easiest way to describe it is a massive invasion of the senses. If you know what I mean, because you can't touch the ground. You don't really know where you're going. You're trying to look ahead of you to see. It was four laps of this rectangular course, which was, you know, marked by large buoys, fluorescent buoys, and you've got to aim for one, turn the corner and go along from there. And yeah, it was just a real invasion of the senses, you know, to the point where I think I did two or three laps and I couldn't remember how many times I'd been round. I'm thinking, well, I can't go in. I've got to go in exactly the right time. And it was just, anyway. I did
and is that on you? Is someone kind of watching you? Or
they've
is that
got
on
no
you
idea. To... Only you know how far you've been round. And obviously you're in there with people that are doing half the distance as well. So they're coming out early. You've got to stay around and do four laps.
Oh, that must have been truly dreadful. Get out.
Yeah, I lost the feeling in my arms. So I'm sort of swimming, but I can't feel my arms. So I'm thinking, what's going on here? So it was, yeah. But do you know what? It was a good lesson in how to keep yourself calm. Because... I had swam an hour and 30 non-stop in the sea. So I kind of knew, you know, it was going to take about an hour and 45. And sure enough, it got to an hour and 45. And I looked at my watch. I think, I've done enough. Yes, I have. Right, I'm getting out and got out at the next point. And then, yeah, ran up the gangway and into the changeover area, I forget the name of it, and handed over to Neil.
Pick up, Neil. What happened next?
He came running through the water looking like Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig's yes. Your brother. Yeah.
Handed over. So we didn't, because we were a relay, you can't carry a relay baton round. So it was a timing chip. So Ian had to take that. There's some odd rules with the triathlon in the transition area. I'm not allowed to touch my bike without putting my helmet on. So I couldn't go until I had my helmet on, I had the bike off of the rack, and then the timing chip on my leg. So I had to wrap it around my ankle, and then off I go. And I have to run out of the transition area with my bike, and then there's a line just outside, and that's where you mount the bike, and off you go. So yeah, true to his word, Ian. You know, we met up the night before for a bite to eat, Ian and Kelly, and we were talking things through. And Ian says, "I think I'm going to be about an hour and 45," and rightly so, right, just about on the nose. Yeah. There he was.
Of course, Mr. Consistent. Love that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where I was based in the transition zone was with teams that were also doing the full Ironman. And some teams that were doing it as a relay. So I was there against some of the competitors as well. And a couple of them had gone and I was sort of in there, and then the nerves are kicking in, the pre-match nerves are kicking in and stuff. And that's taxing on your energy levels as well. But anyway, yeah, Ian comes, I get the chip, off I go. So it's 112 miles. So, which is a distance I've done before. I've done a few hundred milers, but the caveat to this is, the difference with this is that this was an individual event. So I was out on my own. These longer rides I've done with my mates that I cycle with, the cycling club I'm in. So it was a different thing psychologically. And also the longer routes I've done, it's been a kind of one loop, 100 miler and then back in. This was a 56 mile loop that I had to do twice.
Oh, awful.
So lap one, so people that were doing a half triathlon, the half Ironman, there was a lot of people out on the course. So I could see somebody in the distance. I'd pick them off. Overtake them, go for the next one, pick them off, overtake them, came back 56 mile. And then they were all the half Ironman people. In they come. And then I'm out there on my own pretty much. So wow. For 3.5 hours, I didn't see hardly anybody. And it really messed with my brain because all of the hills that I had to go up, and this was a really lumpy course, I knew what was coming. So it was just messing with my head the second lap. But I did it in the time that I was hoping I would do it. In fact, a little bit quicker. It was really hot. It was really windy. It was really lumpy, but we got it done. So I come back in and like, especially after the first lap. So you actually come back into Kiel, the water, and you can see the transition zone. I'm thinking, oh, I could go, but I've actually got to go back out again. So off.
That's mean, isn't it? It's
off
mean.
I go. Off I go. And a little bit, when we talk about, me and Ian were talking a little bit about it, and I know Ian and Kelly did as well while I was out on the bike. You can liken it, this, to your alcohol-free journey on what you're doing. And what I mean by that is the whole accountability thing. So like the OTI community, our little diet and fitness group that we've got going on and our little trio of the Ironman, at any point on lap two where I didn't see anyone and it got really difficult and got really hilly, at any point I could have got off my bike and nobody would have known about it. Nobody would have known I could have done it, but I didn't, because I was accountable to the people that had donated. I was accountable to Ian and Kelly. I was accountable to alcohol change. I was accountable to myself. I was accountable to all the training and all the effort I'd put in.
And you had Cher's Greatest Hits in your ears to power you around.
And here's another thing with the Iron Man rulings. You're not allowed headphones.
No.
Oh my goodness me.
Which is rightly so, because of safety.
Yeah, reasons. Of course.
So I couldn't even lose myself for an hour with Cher's Greatest Hits.
Oh, Neil, incredible.
Yeah, I come back into transition zone. I have to run through into transition zone. I have to rack my bike, take my helmet off, put that on the bike, take timer chip off, give Kelly a hug. She then puts the timer chip on and off she goes.
Amazing. So Kelly picks up the virtual baton. She sets off. And as we've already mentioned in the episode, due to unforeseen circumstances, and as we know, life doesn't always go to plan, does it? Kelly wasn't able to complete the entire distance. So that's where Ian came back in, maybe a tad unexpectedly. What happened then?
Before you go into that, the other thing to say, which Neil did mention, is just to do with the diet and exercise WhatsApp group that we've got. So we've got all these, all the guys who are in our group, and there's quite a few of us, all sort of willing us on in the background, giving us sort of support and encouragement and all the rest of it. Kelly couldn't continue, and she let me. She rang me and said, "Look, I'm sorry, I can't continue." She explained why. I said, "Right, okay." I had a bag with me, so I met with her, gave her a bag, and I thought, "We've got to do this, haven't we? we can't end it, yeah. It's just we've come, what is it? What's the cliche? You haven't come this far. When you come this far, I thought, right,
that's the one. So that's the one.
I got myself back to the start, but obviously it had been about an hour, and by this point, obviously Kelly had been out and come back, and then I had to have a word with the organisers. And I think it was about, I can't remember what time it was, Neil. Was it about 6 o'clock by this point, I think?
Wow. I was sat here in this Airbnb eating a pizza.
Ian, at any point do you think, Kelly, why did you call me? Why couldn't you call Neil?
Correct.
Neil was sat in his pants eating ham and pineapple pizza.
And of course, I'd be relaxing all day as well. I'd have myself a nice chicken panini and chips. I'd had a massive bit of a cherry Bakewell. And God knows what else. So yeah, anyway, so I got myself back to the transition zone and said, look, there's been an unforeseen situation. I did the swim. I'd like to have a go at the marathon. And the lady said, I'm going to give you five. I'm going to give you five.
I'd like to run the marathon, please. Thank you kindly.
I'm going to give you 5 hours. And I thought, I think that's not enough, but let's just say yes and see how we get on. So so I set off. Of course, I had my finest dancing trainers on, not my running trainers. I had been able to get changed back into my soaking wet shorts that I'd had on underneath my wetsuit.
Oh,
and I had my alcohol change vest, which was supposed to be for the photo shoot. So I was kind of semi-prepared, but I had my dancing trainers on, not my running trainers. So I took off in my dancing trainers and just started doing this four-loop course and just thought, let's just see how we get on. And the first two were fine. I rang Neil as I was going round and said, look, this is what we're doing. And he had some spangly new trainers on, which he'd been showing off that he'd got off his son for free to a perk of his son's job. I thought, what size are you? He said, oh, I'm size 9.5. So I said, right. So he got there just in time for at the end of lap two, this sort of the half marathon distance, if you like. I swapped my trainers and that was like a new lease of life and I was off again. So
this is brilliant. So,
I mean, but it was one of those things. And the thing is, right, if you'd said to me at the start of the day, right, Ian, or at any point in the run up, you'll do the swim at 6:30 in the morning, then you're going to have to go and run a marathon night. I'd say, nah, not Cat Nell's chance. I'm not going to be able to do that. So you go and find somebody else. But just goes to show, if you're put on the spot, and again, this could be looped back to, you know, alcohol freeness and all the rest of it. If you're put on the spot and, you know, we're a team, we went in it as a team and we're coming out of it as a team. It was instinctively, I just thought, I've got to give it a go.
And can I just say, he's doing himself a massive injustice here. Right. So we turned up, me and Ali turned up with the trainers just at the end of lap two. He was told 5 hours. And his words to me were, do not let them stop me from finishing this marathon.
Amazing.
It was like that scene out of Rocky. I likened it to Rocky. You know where he said, Mick, don't let them stop this fight.
Oh, don't.
Cut me, Mickey, cut me. And it was like that. He was so determined. And off he went. And
Because all the way through the day, we get all these fab messages in the WhatsApp group, you know.
Yeah.
Buzzing, encouraging us on, and it made it real. It was a real camaraderie thing, which it was really. Anyway. One of the community members had come down with his family from nearby in the borders.
Yeah,
and,
Lee.
And it was like, you know, it was no brainer. But because you only give me 5 hours, I was thinking, if they try and drag me out of this, you know, I'll be furious. So,
can you imagine if it was like 5 hours 15 or something like that? Yeah. It's incredible. Ben, do you want to jump in?
What was the time? What did you do it in?
Well, the thing is, I don't quite know why she said that, because they have a cut-off at 12 midnight. So as long as I'd got round before 12 midnight, I was going to be all right. But I was thinking, well, she's told me that, so is she worried for my safety or what? I don't know. So that's why I said to Neil, do not let them stop me finishing this run. I'm finishing it.
The cut-off, the whole event is 17 and a half hours, and we were inside, we were around about 16.
Wow.
So we had plenty of time.
This feels like a really, really, really good time to say justgiving.com/page/team-OTI. justgiving.com/page/team-OTI. Wow, Ian. Wow.
Just brilliant.
It's what a guy.
What a guy.
What brilliant. A guy. And, I mean, we knew you'd all be good as a team anyway, because you are just all fantastic people. But Neil, I just want you to pick up on what Ian's touched on there. Obviously, Ian has got the diet and fitness sort of little group within OTI. Neil, you do your 75 hard craziness, which has been incredibly successful as well. And it's not all just about health and fitness in OTI, is it? Heck, we've got a book club, we've got an album club, you know, we talk about all sorts of things. But I think what has become really apparent, Neil, during the course of this conversation is that sense of team, is that sense of community, is that sense of, right, okay, it doesn't always go to plan. It's not always linear. Be it an Ironman, be it a 5K, be it your alcohol-free journey. And that is so important, isn't it, for something like this?
Yeah, really is. We had people, so us AFers, are well known for being in bed by 9 o'clock at night. This went on well past half 10, 11 o'clock. And we had people saying, I can't go to bed now. I need to see how it ends. I need to see how it ends. They were all messaging. we had people that were messaging the next day to say, my whole family was invested in this. It was like, we're drained. We're tired as well. I haven't gone through it with you. And we've had people donate before the event and then afterwards donated again to say, I can't not. This is my way of saying, well done, thank you for what you've done. So, yeah, there was a whole, like, a real team camaraderie behind it. Everyone was in it together. The well wishes were amazing. It was incredible. It really was. It was just that whole togetherness of doing it was certainly helped me in the darkest parts of the bike ride, for sure. Because there was a live track link as well, so people were tracking us. That's what the time and chip was about. Every so many kilometers you go through, it would time it. And we were getting well wishes and messages, etc. So, yeah, it was brilliant.
Have you two guys got any idea how this makes me and Ben feel? Like, no, literally, like shattered. Listening to your stories.
Just listening to your story.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Not good. I couldn't think of anything worse. It sounds flipping awful. I'm talking in terms of OTI and what was created 4 years ago. And for us just to listen now to what you're saying and talking about people coming along and people donating and people supporting people when it's not gone entirely to plan, it is incredible. And I think you said this at the beginning of the well, was it you, Neil? I think I just stopped drinking.
Yeah.
It's just one thing in your life. And for some people, that's a little thing. And for some people, that is a massive thing. And I know for so many people within OTI, you know, and I can speak personally as well, it's huge to do that, to make that decision to remove alcohol. And it can lead down these most ridiculous paths. What you've just shared with us, Neil, and Ian, it's ridiculous. It's daft.
I would turn around and you saying, do you realise what you've done? Because you, this is the monsters you've created, if you know what I mean. Because, no, I remember doing that first podcast with you when I was, you know, when it was 1 year in, and it was just a case of, I've stopped drinking. I've managed to stop drinking. I know there's things I want to do with my life from now, and I've got some, I don't know what they are, but I know there's some things I want to, there's directions I want to go in. And I remember saying on that podcast, I want, you know, I've got my name down to do a marathon. I haven't done it yet, but I've got my name down to do a marathon. You know, I did the occasional Great North Run, and that was the extent of my, you know, fitness, you know, prior to this. And then in those 4 years after that, this has grown arms. For me, it's grown arms and legs, and it's you know, and I've really got into my you know, and I really enjoy health and fitness. I'm not where I want to be from that point of view, but that's because I'm ambitious with it, if you know what I mean. It's something I really enjoy. So, you know, it's like, I had no idea I was going to get to this point. 4 or 5 years ago, I was just stopping drinking. That's all I was doing.
That's the excitement of it, though.
Yeah.
That's why me and Ben get so giddy. Yeah. You know, going, oh, you just don't know what's going to happen. And people get in touch and they'll say, I'm at 30 days, I'm at 60, I'm at 100. I'm 1 year alcohol free. And we're like, honestly, you do not know what's coming your way. I mean, Ian, flipping out, you do our events now. You're leading people up mountains and all sorts.
Absolutely.
It's just so
good.
I had
no idea where this was all going to go. And I think that looking forward, I'm now excited. So I'm thinking, where's this going to take me next? Where is this going to take me next? And, you know, I don't think you guys actually know. You say, do we know? I don't think you know what you're doing, because you got me in a position where I had half a chance of doing that marathon. You got me there because, you know, since that year one, that's where I've started picking these things up. I've started taking this seriously, and I've been able to run marathons, and it's took me to all these cities that I've never been to before. So you don't know what you've done. Never mind, we don't know what we've done. I was, because of you, I was in a position where I had half a chance of being able to finish it off.
Amazing. We've just got big gobs. It's you two that are absolute flipping machines.
And just to pick up what Ian was saying there, what by removing alcohol, what it does is that it gives you we talk about freedom, right? So that could be freedom of noise in your head, or freedom to go and do the things you want to do. But what it also does for me, it gave me energy back. So freedom and energy is a hell of a combination to go and achieve things you want to do. And you know, I've always been, certainly the last 7 or 8 years, been a keen cyclist, but what it's done is it's freed up that time, and give me my energy. And that's where I get my energy to cycle, but I also get my energy from it as well, from the enjoyment and pleasure from it. So
I'm just looking through I'm on justgiving.com/page/team OTI. You've got pounds, you've had money donated in US dollars, Australian dollars, euros. There's a great one here, good luck your walloper, from Chris. I imagine that's American Chris, using some of the language he's learned from our...
What is a walloper?
OTI tricks. I really like this one, right at the very top. Becky B, after your amazing achievement yesterday, I just felt I had to do a second donation. Absolutely outstanding from Becky. You've had 117 supporters, 2,658... This is as we record, of course. £2,658 raised of the £3,750 target. Wow. So we're not quite at target yet, but we're very much hoping that this podcast being released helps get a bit closer there. So justgiving.com/page/team OTI. if you've already donated, I'm sure the guys would love to say thank you. But just, you know, let's all be more Becky. Let's go and do it again. Because, I mean, it's an incredible story, isn't it, from the weekend? And I think it deserves some more dosh, for sure.
Can I just jump in again quickly and say two things? Firstly, I know Neil will want to echo this as well, but thank you very much indeed for everybody who has pledged already. It is massively appreciated. The other thing I want to say is that this is just the beginning. So again, whilst Neil was out on his bike and Kelly and I had 7 hours or so whilst he's, you know, taking the hills on, we had quite a lot of time for some really good chats. And Kelly's come up with an absolute cracking idea, which I'm going to try and explore for next year, which is extending this as a group effort. So anybody within OTI who wants to come along to a future event and take part, they can. And it isn't about doing ridiculous distances. You can do a 5K. You could take part as a relay over smaller distances. You could just do a single distance. It doesn't have to be the three distances. There's a huge thing that we can make of this, where we can actually make it a really big OTI event, link it again to alcohol change, but involve so many more members of the community. So watch this space as far as that's concerned.
Amazing. Final word, Neil.
I'm still enjoying the calorie replenishment. I'm eating my way through Northumberland at the moment.
I mean, Neil, she's kind, she's funny, she's beautiful, and she's listening into this on the other sofa right now. Is Ali proud of you?
I think so. Ali?
Oh, really, really proud of both of them. Yeah. And Kelly as well. They wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for Kelly.
Absolutely. So right.
She got the start in. I mean, honestly, they're just phenomenal. I'll get quite emotional now. If you'd seen Ian when he finished, you could see how much it had taken out of him. I mean, the trainers he did half a marathon in blows my mind. And yeah, just the determination. I said to him, but I hope they don't tell us that he has to stop, because we're going to have to keep him going. We're going to get into a real fight here. A couple of other things they haven't mentioned to you. They had to register at 5:45 in the morning. So he didn't get in the water till 6:30, but they were way earlier than that. It was 10 to 11 that they finished.
Wow.
Ian and Kelly slept in a tent the night before.
Separately. Separate tents. Keep my wife's listening.
It was the most comfortable night to take that on. And today, Neil drove me around the route that he cycled. I get a bit blasé about the miles he does, because he does it all the time. You know, I just say to him, how long are you going to be? What time are you back?
Yeah, whatever, Neil, whatever.
Whatever, but that was a... It took us over an hour in a car to do it. It was very remote. When he talks about hills, again, he's not being totally honest. It's the highest elevation he's ever done. And wow. Given the fact he's been to the south of France, Swiss border, that's some height that he's covered. But just blown away, really, by them both and Kelly. Really phenomenal. So, yeah, really,
amazing.
Really proud.
Amazing.
Really inspired. Yeah, and excited for what they do there. I know... We're going to hear very soon that Ian's telling you about his Ironman triathlon or half Ironman. He's going to do all on his own. He knows he can do two now. So, you know, that bike's not a problem for him. That's coming soon, I'm sure.
Ali, thank you.
And I've had the best time carb loading.
Yeah, brilliant.
Without any of the pain.
Living the dream.
Thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Living the dream. Ali, it's so good to hear from you there. Neil's wife, Ali. We need to wrap up. Ian, you're a legend. Neil, you're a legend. Kelly, you're a legend. We can't thank the three of you enough for doing this and for singing about the joys of alcohol-free life, for showing people what is possible, and just for being a part of OTI. So for myself and Ben, and to every single person that's donated as well along the way, a huge, huge thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure to catch up on Over the Influence.
Thanks, guys.
One final time, justgiving.com/page/TeamOTI.